The 64 March also was one of the activities around the nation that helped build support for the 64 Civil Rights Bill. The big thing, obviously, was in Washington the year before, but there were other demonstrations around the nation. But the first one that took place in 64 was right here in Kentucky. As a result of the march in 1966, the state of Kentucky adopted legislation that gave the Kentucky Commission on Human Rights Enforcement powers to investigate cases of discrimination and to rule on cases of discrimination. Kentucky then became the first state in the South to have such enforcement powers.
John Johnson is executive director of Kentucky's Human Rights Commission today. But 50 years ago, he was involved in organizing the historic event being commemorated this week. The 50th anniversary Civil Rights March on Frankfort to the Capitol steps is Wednesday at 10 Eastern. It starts at the corner of 2nd Street and Capitol Avenue at 9:30 Eastern for the approximate two-block walk to the State Capitol building. In the case of inclement weather, the event will be in the Frankfort Convention Center. As in 1964, the 2014 march is to show support for legislative action. The 64 march focused on the Public Accommodations Bill. This week's march, in addition to being commemorative, supports Kentucky's voting rights for convicted felons who have served their time. Back in 1964, Field McChesney was in a communications position in state government. He was a longtime friend of Governor Edward T. Ned Breathitt, a Hopkinsville native. As a member of Breathitt's staff, he had an insider perspective on the months leading up to the 1964 March on Frankfort.
Ned Breathitt was inaugurated, as I say, about 2 weeks after JFK was killed. We were just tickled to death over winning the election, and it was supposed to be a joyous time. And he had had a nice conversation with President Kennedy, who had congratulated him on getting elected and had planned a visit to Kentucky that spring. You know, it had to do with poverty in Appalachia. He was going to make a tour of eastern Kentucky, which Lyndon Johnson did. And Ned was a very promising young fellow and getting a lot of attention. He was inaugurated with the flags at half staff because of the assassination. We were all really still in a state of shock through the next few months.
Breathitt's predecessor, Governor Burt Combs, had issued an executive order barring discrimination in public accommodation. Breathitt endorsed the order in his first campaign for governor, but McChesney recalls that Breathitt did not stress the endorsement in his campaign because there wasn't popular support for it.
Governor Breathitt had been elected by a pretty close majority because of his attitude towards civil rights, and people campaigning against him because of that. But in his State of the Commonwealth speech, his first time on the 7th of January of 1964, he said, "The right of all citizens to equal treatment in places of public accommodation, regardless of race or color, is one which must find vindication through legislative action." In other words, he was asking the legislature to pass a public accommodations law, that it wasn't enough that we had an executive order held over from the Combs administration. Well, that wasn't easy to do. People were really excited after the Civil Rights March on Washington in August of 1963, just a few months before Martin Luther King had given his I Have a Dream speech. The people in Kentucky who were interested in human rights decided we ought to march on Frankfort, see if we can move the legislature.
So the Breathitt administration supported the march, according to McChesney, and the governor was proud that his daughter and several cabinet members joined it. But the first Frankfurt March did not move the legislature. In fact, Governor Breathitt would later rescind Governor Combs' executive order for lack of public support. It wasn't until 2 years later, in 1966, that Kentucky finally passed its Civil Rights Act. But on March 5, 1964, after the speech-making of the first march on Frankfurt had finished on the platform built for the occasion on the Capitol steps, Field McChesney had a job to do.
The governor had called me in and told me what my role would be. We didn't have anybody in the governor's office then. It had just been vacated. He was to be seated at his desk in the governor's office. I was to stand at the front door of the Capitol. Agreement had been that the governor would meet with the leadership, and there were three people designated as the leaders, Dr. King, Dr. Abernathy, and Jackie Robinson.
McChesney reflects upon the impact of the event in which he played this small role.
And what it did, of course, it stamped Ned Breathitt nationally as a civil rights leader. And he was the youngest and the newest of the lot. And the National Governors Conference was going to be in Cleveland in June. And the President Johnson, called Ned and asked him if he would sponsor a resolution endorsing civil rights legislation. Of course, Breathitt, I guess maybe he knew some of the governors, but I don't know how really, because he had not been there before. But he did it. They had a strong endorsement from the governors to get Congress to pass civil rights legislation. Ned was the only one south of Mason-Dixon line who was for it. So that gave him really the reputation as being a civil rights leader. A couple of months later, Congress passed the National Public Accommodations Act, or Civil Rights Act, outlawing segregation. And President Johnson named Ned Breathitt to a commission to meet regularly and report on the way the law was accepted and the way that it was being administered and the effectiveness of it. At that time, according to my recollection and to other things that I've read, he got to really know Martin Luther King better, that they were seated next to each other on this commission. And as Breathitt was quoted somewhere, I read that they were good friends, that they talked about things other than civil rights and family and art and sports and what have you. And it was a friendship that lasted until Dr. King was killed.
In promoting this Wednesday's march, John Johnson harkens back to 1964's marching theme.
Martin King said when he was here before, evil only succeeds when good people do nothing. And we know that there are many, many thousands of good people spread throughout the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and we are hoping that they will show up on March the 5th.
World War II B-17 radio operator and prisoner of war, Field McChesney, 92, now lives back in his hometown, Bowling Green. He sums his feelings about the times he's described.
It was an interesting and pivotal time in the history of Kentucky, and it's worthwhile, I think, to think back about it, and it's commendable that this year the Allied Organization for Civil Rights is recalling it to remind people that the situation between whites and blacks in Kentucky has not always been the way that it is right now. My recollection further is that things just seemed to work better when we weren't burdened with the segregation, which had been our lot, that an awful lot of thinking people knew was wrong, but nobody seemed to have the political will of Lyndon Johnson or Ned Breathitt or Burt Combs people of that kind of belief and the courage to do something about it.